My name is Michelle. I want to understand everything. I spent hours in the forest of our backyard as a child, watching the slow march of ants, pulling on that mysterious reptile's tail in the bush, and reading the clouds for news of the coming weather. I drove my parents and teachers crazy with endless questions about how the world works and our place in it. In school, Cladestine books were read under my desk, and I walked home while reading, only to spend the nights secretly reading by the beam of my flashlight. I was thirsty for knowledge. I still wonder about the world and why people behave the ways they do. I am still searching for the meaning of us. Through writing, I have found my peace in the world. The piece I'm going to read is called Room to Grow. Her feet drum against the metal leg of the chair. The voice drones on. And her mind wanders far from the crashing boredom of the room. The window not enough of a distraction. In her imagination, she has more space to expand, to play, to wonder. Slap! She is transfixed as her classmate slams onto the floor. The teacher is angry, and she isn't sure why. Sliding a mask of protection on, she makes herself small and unnoticeable. The echoes of why still ring in her head and heart. The lesson learnt. Blend in or face danger. The laughter bubbled through them as they ran along the concrete pathway to the classroom. Excited about sharing this joke with their favourite teacher, they burst into the classroom with expressions of concern. Mr. Daniels, there are kids smoking in the bathroom. He mirrors their expressions and is uncharacteristically stern. You need to tell me their names. They pause, uncertain. She carries on. Sure he'll understand the joke. April Fools! The room is quiet. They are sent to their tables to write 100 times. I should not tell lies. She made a silent vow to herself. I will not write, no matter what he says. The room is quiet, except for her friend's pencil grating on her soul. He had broken the rules of the game, and she would no longer play. She's been sent out of the classroom again, sitting on the wooden floor of the veranda, legs outstretched in nonchalant teen defiance. The sun boils her slowly, while the parrots scream in the treetops. Through the open windows, she can hear her teacher's voice as he drones through the summer heat. She thinks angrily to herself, I would listen if you weren't so boring. Who's really the problem here? She sighs as she feels the weight of her teachers and parents agreeing. So much wasted potential. She looks to the blue sky, an unwavering, vibrant blue, and thinks, I'll do it my way. Sweat pools on her forehead, neck, and under her thighs. She could reach out and touch both walls and across the table to touch the immigration police on their stubbled cheeks. She doesn't. Her hands are tight in her lap. She's shifting between shrinking small and hiding her unbreakable conviction that they cannot force her. She looks at him directly and says honestly, I don't have any money. He presses again. You will need to pay or go to jail. She begins to cry because now she is scared and this culture does not respond well to aggressive women. He tries again. You can ask your parents for money. She blurts out, they will not pay. His face shifts between discomfort, anger, and defeat. He asks, how much do you have? She gives him all the money she has left and lands back in her homeland without enough money to leave the airport. The knife is close to her throat, and she can feel his anger through the blade. She twists to look at him. I'm sorry, she pleads for the 100th time. His hand holds steady. It has been hours, and her eyes feel heavy. The damp heat pools inside the room, under her back on the bed. He feels unmovable and not interested in her pleas. Her resolve falters, and the escape of sleep pulls her down, away from this unescapable pain. The birds are outside singing their morning song. His back is turned. She gets dressed, and they leave together out into the blinding tropical sun. Another day beginning. Same as yesterday, yet different. She doesn't run away. Not straight away. It takes months before she wakes up and leaves by herself into blue skies and sunlight. They face each other, squish between the bed and the wardrobe, their knees almost touching. Her friend says, "We'll begin." She feels confusion and panic swirling in her stomach, pushing against her knowledge from years of studying under revered senseis. Her friend offers no ancient techniques or philosophical lineage to follow. Just tells her to sit and breathe and let whatever comes up to come up. Her thoughts tumble over each other in their impatience to be finally heard. She writes a children's book in her imagination. Hears the same thoughts circle round like hungry wolves. There are two wolves in your heart, an angry wolf and a loving wolf. Which will you feed? Which tribe is that saying from? Is that the correct version? Questions and musings tumbled continuously like the stones in the riverbed of a rushing stream. They don't stop, and no silence is found. Yet, in that small room, with her friend's calm presence, peace settles in her bones. For a time, she feels okay in her body, in her brain, and in this moment.